The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, live at Sobey Restaurant and Lounge in Lanham, Maryland. You can still come down to participate in the conversation. Of course, there will also be a presidential debate watch party coming up at 9 o'clock. We will be here tweeting live from that. You don't want to miss it. It is expected to be one of the most watched, most highly anticipated presidential debates in history. So certainly we are going to continue our conversation now. Joining me here are Dr. Niambi Carter. She's associate professor in the Department of Political Science at Howard University, and Renard Jackson, a Republican political strategist. As we said earlier, we are taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, let me start this time with the Democratic position. Hillary Clinton, Professor, has a problem with, let's be honest, honesty. Some could argue that she has never given a straight answer about her emails. Obviously, this issue is going to come up. How is it, what is she going to say, or what does she need to say to convince people that she can be trusted?
I mean, I think what she's going to have to tell people that this has been adjudicated, that perhaps it was an error in judgment, and that this wouldn't be something that she would continue, right, as the president. I mean, but I think for people who think she's dishonest, there's nothing she can say. For people who truly believe that Hillary Clinton is a duplicitous person who has ill intent, there's nothing she can really say.
Mm-hmm. Now, the same thing for you, Renard. Donald Trump, fast and loose with the truth. The Washington Post said that just during the course of the past 30 days, he has made comments that are, you know, at best ambiguous. But honestly, he also has an issue with facts. Why is it that people, knowing that he has an issue with facts, are still supporting him? What's going on with the Republican faithful?
Well, I think, Harold, that most people in the media are totally misreading the electorate. The electorate...
But hold on. The media has nothing to do with this.
Yeah,
the facts are facts, okay? And so let's deal with the reality of...
Okay,
go ahead. Because facts are facts.
No.
To do with the media.
My point is that the American people are so pissed in both parties. Tonight at the debate, what people are going to be looking for is the likability factor. It has nothing to do with all this crap you're seeing on all the talking head shows over the weekend and tonight. People are going to look at Hillary and Donald and say, who do I like best? It has nothing to do with that 30-point plan on crime, on the economy, foreign policy. The bottom line is tonight is going to be about who the people like. All this other stuff is just background noise.
So facts don't matter?
In this election, no.
Wow. Okay. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319.
Mark my word.
And you may be right. You may very well be right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Norman calling from Southwest Washington. Norman, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is part of what the gentleman just said. He pointed to certain issues, and I agree with some of what he's saying. However, I think that everybody's focusing on, in the African-American community, focusing on Donald Trump. Let's be reasonable and look reality in the face. That is, Donald Trump is playing to his constituents. That's all he's doing. He's going to be the clown that he is. He's going to be the talent on TV that he is, and that's what he's doing. But he's only playing to his people. Now, if Hillary and the African-American community start focusing on the plans, the programs, and how she is going to govern in order to aid the American people, then that is the campaign for her. Stop running Donald Trump. He's guarding and putting them in the direction that he wants to go, and they are following it. And he is only dealing with his people. Clinton has got to start dealing with her people and her program, because if you keep following him, you're going to be just like a TV show. You'll be sitting there, looking deer facing in the eye, and what is going to happen? Donald Trump will sneak in. You
Norman, thank you so much.
Miss.
Thank you so much, Norman, for your comment. Okay, so, you know, Dr. Carter, what is Hillary Clinton's message for the African-American community? She has, some could argue, perhaps more than any other white candidate really taking her message to the African-American community. Is that a strategy? Is she sincere? What is the message tonight?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's an either-or proposition. The truth is these people want to win, so it could be sincere, it could just be good politics. We'll never know. If the outcome is the same, the outcome is the same. I will say she has to say more than just something about Black Lives Matter. She also needs to talk about economics. Right? I mean, Black people are concerned about their jobs. Black women still make 60 cents on the dollar for white men. So these are other issues that Black people care about. And I think she's going to have to tell us something about what she plans to do for wages and people's real day-to-day lives.
Okay. Renard, I do want you to comment on that issue, too, because the gentleman who was here before made a comment about him going to Detroit and going to Cleveland. But Lord knows every time that he makes a quote-unquote appeal to the African-American community, there always seems to be a bit of consternation, a bit of discomfort. And certainly having Don King dropping the N-word from the pulpit in a church is at least disrespectful. How can you tell me and our listeners that Donald Trump is really sincere about his message to African Americans?
Well, the first thing, Donald Trump has some incompetent Black folks around him. That's the first thing. And Donald Trump has spent more time meeting with Black Democrats than he has Black Republicans. That's problematic. The RNC and the Trump campaign have more Black Democrats on staff than they do Black Republicans.
Yeah, but but we don't know that.
Yeah, I know that.
But I'm saying the average voter doesn't know that.
But no, I agree with you on that.
And like I said, so how can Donald Trump convince the average African-American voter that he is sincere, that he is not a racist, that he needs to vehemently and spiritedly, you know, reject people like David Duke and other white supremacists?
Well, a couple things. Number one, he needs to meet with Black entrepreneurs. He has yet to meet with any Black businessmen who are Republican, number one. Number two, he needs to meet with NNPA, the National Newspaper Publishers Association, the Black newspaper owners, and people like you. He needs to start doing interviews with people like you. And I've told that to his people, but it's just hard getting these guys to sit down with journalists. But if he does those two things, Donald Trump can get a significant percentage of the Black vote. When I say significant, I'm talking about between 10 and 15%. Hmm. And I think the polls are totally underreading the Black mood in this country.
Well, let me read a question from our audience. This is from Kimberly Booker with Rolling for Freedom. The question is there a systematic plan to end mass incarceration and privatization for prisons and jails on federal, local, and state levels? Also, she's speaking about undoing the crime bill mess her husband, I guess she's talking about Hillary Clinton, made in 1994, three strikes. Professor, go right ahead. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, she has made very clear statements about criminal justice reform and all of these things. Now, again, these are things that people are saying they're going to do, but these are not necessarily things they can do on their own, right? You also have to have a cooperative Congress. So this isn't, I mean, this is what we're talking about, what we would like to see happen, and Hillary Clinton has been very clear about that. I think Donald Trump has made some vague gestures, but he's also said stuff about stop and frisk as a national policy would be a good idea. So, I mean, I don't think either of them has told any of us how they're going to fix this mess. And I think it'll take more than one administration from either of these people to do that.
Possible or not, correction, don't forget Donald Trump did say stop and frisk for Chicago, right or wrong, but that is the statement that he made. He was talking about Chicago, not necessarily nationally. I want to go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ronald on the line. Thanks for calling, Ronald. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. There's been a lot of discussion, so I will be respectful of the time and just make two brief comments. One is, if the Republicans' whole strategy towards Clinton is over the emails, then that just goes another blatant disrespect for the system that we have in place. The system that we have in place has made a determination, and so that should be final, like he said about the president's birthday. That's fine. First place is final. The other one is that I don't think that a person can simply flip a switch and start acting presidential, and everyone should believe him. The fact of the matter is that the person has been acting as the person who he really is up to this point, and now to turn around and say that I will act so presidential that it's going to be boring, is a blatant disrespect for the office of the presidency, and I cannot understand why anyone in this country would vote for a person like that unless they are truly a racist.
Ronald, thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about the optics, that last point that Ronald was making, Dr. Carter. Do you have to tell someone to act presidential? And in your opinion, what does that mean?
I don't think you have to tell someone to act presidential. I think most people who are seeking the office know that they have to change the way that they interact with the public. I mean, what does it mean? It means somebody who's measured in their responses. It means somebody that we believe could be in that office and wield authority with some measure of self-control. It means that this person knows the right thing to say. They can be diplomatic, right? It means a lot of different things. It's also about how you actually look. I mean, we know to a certain extent people care about what our public face is going to look like. So I think for both candidates, it'll be important for them to come across, especially for Donald Trump, as more measured, and for Hillary Clinton to be tough, but not too tough. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a hard balance for her to strike.
But you spoke about, you know, being more measured. Indeed, some would argue more dignified. But I think the reality is, as it relates to Donald Trump, that his supporters don't care.
No, they don't.
And they don't care about that. They are supporting someone who they may consider who shoots not only from the hip, but from the shoulder, from the kneecap, who's shooting from every which way. And that is what they want. Is this a sign that we are perhaps entering, no matter who wins, a new era in presidential politics?
But no, Harold, again, I keep going back to the media is totally misreading the pulse of the electorate. When you keep saying Trump supporter, I'm telling you, Harold, what I know, there are a lot of black folks who are going to vote for Donald Trump. But trust me on that.
But are they standing in the corners of these rooms where Donald Trump is holding these rallies? Because as we see, you know, one could argue that, you know, they may have your one or two token black folks behind the microphone.
I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about the event. I'm talking about blacks I know and I talk to all across the country.
So you're Pookie talking about the great black silent majority.
No, Pookie and LaQuisha.
Okay, well.
All these votes.
Well, I would disagree with that. I mean, I think saying he's going to get a great deal of support is overstating the case.
I'm the double digits.
I doubt it. Nobody has polled double digits with black folks in a long time.
George
he has
w.
some of the lowest pre-polling.
I don't believe
Barry
Goldwater. I don't believe
it. You cannot believe in it, but it's the truth. And Mitt Romney didn't even do that well. I think we're talking single digits and low single digits. And every poll that we have seen has confirmed that.
But every poll also said Mitt Romney was going to be president in 2012.
No, every poll didn't.
Yeah.
And no, every poll that some people looked at might have said that, but no, every poll didn't.
But Trump is resonating in the black community. They just don't show up in
any
polls.
Black community. Now, maybe
I travel all across the country and talk to black folks.
And you can talk to all the black folks you want to. And I'm saying, Trump might be saying a few things that people want to hear, but when you're playing footsie with white nationalists, you can't tell me that you care about
me. Here's one thing
me.
I would love to hear you all do. Everyone says Trump is a racist. Please define to me what a racist is.
So I would say that a racist is somebody who not only thinks racially about other groups in stereotypical forms, but has the power to oppress those
people.
Like
Bill Clinton. When he told Obama in 2008 that your campaign is a fairy tale. That's what Bill Clinton said.
Okay, your campaign is a fairy tale is different than saying these animals in the Middle East.
And Renard, to her point, let us be clear. From the David Duke fiasco to not denouncing with a great deal of strength these white nationalist groups, okay, there are a lot of smart people in the Republican Party, and there's got to be somebody that says to his campaign manager, to his staff, that person who is tweeting at you is a racist, and you need to denounce
him. Okay, did Hillary Clinton denounce the KKK member 2 months ago that endorsed her campaign?
Okay, I can't
speak. That's my point.
But hold on. Okay, I need to take a break. I want to come back to that issue because I don't want that issue to just sit there on the table because we really do need to address this. I need to take a break. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Live at Sobey Restaurant and Lounge in Lanham, Maryland. We're talking about Clinton, Trump, and the great debate on the race to the White House. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back to this special edition of the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, live at Sobey Restaurant and Lounge in Lanham, Maryland. Of course, we are previewing the great debate, Clinton and Trump, on the issues on the road to the White House. We are continuing our discussion tonight with Dr. Niambi Carter, Associate Professor in the Department of Political Science at Howard University, and Renard Jackson, Republican political strategist. I want to go back to that question that we were discussing, or issue we were discussing right before the break. Now, you mentioned Hillary Clinton and the KKK. That may very well be a valid question. But the issue is that Donald Trump is much, much, much more wider known for this issue of race. And suffice it to say, even if you have been to his rallies, you've seen, you know, the difference. How do you explain that if indeed, as you say, there are so many more black people supporting him than we see? And so, like I said, are they the new great silent black majority just don't see?
It's quite simple, Harold, in that if Trump would actually go into the real black community, none of this bogus crap he's been doing.
So you admit that is an issue?
Oh, there's no question.
Okay.
I'm saying if he were to do some organized events in the black community with black entrepreneurs, engage with the black media, I can guarantee you for sure he would probably be pushing up in the high teens. But even with what he's doing right now, I think he'll break double digits, low double digits.
I have a question from the audience. Donald Trump wants to raise taxes, interested in knowing what percentage of tax increase will affect the middle class, what will be the distribution, a highly technical question, very, very, very interesting point. Let me go ahead, Renard, if you can at least try to address that. There hasn't been a lot of talk. There have been some sweeping comments about taxes and making America great again and making sure that everything's going to be great and how we're going to pay for it. We just don't know, the VA and the bigger military. But in order to do that, you're going to have to raise taxes.
No. He's going to reduce taxes across the board. But also, more importantly to me, he's going to cut corporate taxes and also reduce the tax from 35% to 15% for that money. We have $2 trillion sitting overseas that corporate America won't bring home because of the high taxes. We are the highest tax business country in the Western world.
We're also the richest.
But there was a report by the Census Department that came out today.
No, we have always been.
No,
since World War II, America has been the richest.
No, I said the U.S. Census report came out showing that under every economic industry over the past 7 years, blacks have regressed. Under Obama's administration, blacks have done far worse than at any time in the country's history.
Okay, before I go on to the next question, we have to say that it could be argued, yes, that President Obama came in 2008. He inherited a recession that was just very, very close to a depression. And so suffice it to say, not only were African Americans doing worse, America,
but every other group
worse,
has recovered, so. Other than blacks.
Okay.
Even Hispanics have recovered.
Let me talk about Hillary Clinton, Professor Carter. What does Hillary Clinton? What's the question that she needs to answer tonight to put her over the top in this debate?
I mean, I think for those who are going to support her, just like those who are going to support Donald Trump, they've already made up their minds. So she's not talking to them. Both of them need to be talking to independents who are saying Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are still possibilities for them in November. I mean, I think she needs to give people a reason to believe that she's actually going to be a good president who actually wants to govern for the right reasons, whatever those are, right? But that's been one of the most frequent criticisms, that this is just about her ambition and not about some greater good. And I think she needs to have a real, I don't know what you call it, but she needs to have a kind of come to Jesus moment. I don't know if it's in the form of a question or in the form of a response, but she needs to have or relay that she actually cares about Americans. I don't know how she does that, because there's so much vitriol towards Hillary Clinton. People are really decided about not liking her, mm-hmm. Even Democrats. And I think she has to be able to be relatable, and she has to be She has to seem like this is something that she is doing for the greater good and not just for an additional feather in her cap. And I think that's been one of the criticisms that people have had of her.
I have a question from the audience. Since African Americans vote 90% Democratic, maybe we should look at voting for the Republican Party or an independent party just to shake things up. Dr. Carter, your thoughts about that? If some people are thinking about going to the polls, holding their nose, Democrats, and voting for Hillary Clinton, do you think that maybe it is time for them to shake things up? Would you approve of sending a message in the voting booth?
I'm a little bit more risk averse than that, but I think people should vote their conscience, first of all, for whoever that is. I will say that Clinton is doing better with those who say that if they had to hold their nose and vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, they would vote for her. So that's probably a positive thing for her. I think Americans generally are clamoring for better and more than a two-party dominant system. I think this election probably brought it home for people, because the truth is, when we're looking at primaries, we're talking about a very small number of people who are making decisions for the rest of us in terms of nominees. And I think people have been displeased with both the Democratic and the Republican nominee. And I think people want more, and they want to see more. So I think, I mean, we are ripe for third parties. Plenty of countries do it. Localities do it in some cases. So, I mean, we do have that possibility, and I think this election is driving that home. Now, people talk about wanting those things, but do they really want to do the legwork to reform party systems? And let's face it, Democrats and Republicans are really strong and powerful organizations and institutions. They don't want to go either. So, I mean, this is going to be it's not just so much about giving people more choices.
Let me give a different take on that same question, Renard. You, like so many other black folks that are in the Republican Party, are attempting to reform this party, to get them to pay attention, to get them to bring more African Americans into the tent. For those who may be feel disaffected by the GOP, do you think they should shake things up and vote independent as opposed to staying home? And do you think an independent vote would be more helpful to Donald Trump as opposed to Hillary Clinton?
No, independent vote definitely helps Donald Trump. But again, we have to blow up the Republican Party. And until they start spending time with black entrepreneurs and helping HBCUs, every other issue we're talking about is null and void. We have incompetent leadership right now at the RNC, and until that changes, we will continue to get the same results we've gotten. And again, it's going to take someone like Trump, who's going to totally shake up the establishment, and that's what the establishment, the Republican Party, is afraid of. If Trump wins, guess what? He owes nobody, and he's going to surround himself with a bunch of new black Republicans, and that's what terrifies folks.
Dr. Carter, we spoke earlier about likability. Is that what this debate is about tonight, and not so much substance? Is it going to be more zig than zag, more zing than than meat? Sizzle than steak, I should say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's about who watches debates. I mean,
who is watching the debate?
Generally,
everybody's watching the debate tonight.
I think more people will watch the debate this time. People are actually excited to see this head to head we've been waiting for. It's kind of easy to debate when it's like other people on the stage and you don't have to do all the heavy lifting. Now it's a head to head debate. We'll see. Generally, it's better educated people, more ideological people who watch debates in general. But I think this one might be a little different. I don't think we'll see crazy, crazy high numbers, but I think we'll definitely see more people tuning in than before. And again, they're talking to their faithful, and I think there will be substance here. They have to kind of come out swinging on this one. But I definitely think a big part of this will be personality. I think Hillary has to appear more authentic, and I think Donald Trump has to appear more controlled, more dignified, and more substantive.
And here's another Donald Trump question from the audience. Do you think the American people will have questions about Donald Trump's ties to Russia and debt to China? How far would he go to erase his debt? Will love of country trump love of party?
This is all Democratic talking points about this whole connection with Trump to Russia. That's such a diversion.
So you're saying that's not true?
That it's not true.
That
no,
he
no.
doesn't have any financial ties to...
No. I'm not saying that. He has business over in Russia
exactly.
and has done business in Russia. But that has nothing to do with Trump's ability if you're going to hold him to that standard, Hillary Clinton shouldn't be allowed to win because she has business dealing through her husband all over the world.
But here's the question about that, and this goes back to the issue of taxes. Hillary Clinton has released her taxes. Mike Pence, his running mate, Donald Trump's running mate, is releasing his taxes. Why doesn't Donald Trump release his taxes?
Because, number one, there is no legal requirement. Just because
it's a precedent does not mean it should be done. No, but legality is not the issue.
But you're missing the point, Harold. Here's the point. By Trump refusing to release his tax return, he's coming across to the average Joe voter as someone who will stand by his gun. That's the Trump
benefit.
No, he's
coming across as somebody with something to hide.
But then, no, that's a media talking point.
That's not a media talking point.
So, in other words, until he proves one thing, you assume it's something else.
Let me say this, because before Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton released their taxes, there were questions about whether or not they were hiding something in relation to the Clinton Foundation. So that's something to hide is not a Donald Trump, an anti-Donald Trump
argument.
But you're
talking about Clinton. They have been on welfare their whole adult life, lived in public housing, been on the government dole from when he was the lieutenant governor.
Attorney General of Arkansas, governor of Arkansas, in the White House. See, Renard, there you go.
What are you talking about? That's a factual truth.
Public dole?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think that's a great way to end this conversation. I want to thank all of our guests tonight for participating in this spirited conversation. And certainly, I also would like to thank the management and the staff of Sobey Restaurant. Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much for allowing us to participate in this conversation. That is a special edition of the Daily Drum for Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, September 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Of course, join us right here at Sobey for the debate party coming up at 9 o'clock. We will certainly be here. And as always, exercise your right to vote. For our serious listeners, stay tuned for The Connection.